Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chips and Bits podcast. I'm your host this month. No,
that's great.
Oh, let's see. Every once in a while, you make a face or you make a noise. Not everyone can see the face. I can see the face, though.
It's so good to be back. I guess I didn't want to interrupt fully. I was just excited.
Well, okay. Here we are. There we go. I'm your host this month, Matthew Anderson. With me, as always,
Kenny Myers.
Kenny Myers, and we're going to talk about video games. Sorry, surprise. We're going to talk about a video game.
A singular one.
Maybe within the world of video games.
This is one. This one's chock full of spoilers, so be careful.
The singular game we'll be talking about is Civilization VII, the epic civilization building game of the seventh manifestation.
The epic civilization manifest of the seventh.
I'm not gonna lie, Kenny. I really thought you were gonna drop a Yogi Bear quote on me right there.
No,
and I feel like you kind of hung me out to dry.
Yeah, well, you got any of those picnic baskets?
I don't have one of those.
You mean Yogi Berra? I think is what you mean.
What did I say?
Yogi Bear.
Did I really?
I think so.
I'm going to have to
That time has passed.
I'm going to have to listen to it in post.
Well, it ain't over till it's over, as
Yogi,
they say.
Yogi Bear quotes also welcome.
Hey, boo-boo.
Okay, so wait, we're back.
A hip-relevant podcast quoting either Yogi Bear or Yogi Bear.
One of the two.
Yeah.
We're talking about Civilization again. We've talked about at least one prior.
Six, I believe.
Was it really six?
Yeah, that would. I well, thought we weren't podcasting six. Around five.
We weren't? I feel like
we were.
I don't
think so.
Okay, so
we've been doing this way too long.
We have. We can't even remember how many civilizations we've played since we've known each other.
Yeah.
For the quick recap, though, just before we dive in, I want to stress that there's a potential here. I'm going to really, unlike most podcasts, I'm going to rely a lot on Kenny this episode for some sounding board stuff, because there are really few games, two in particular, that have impacted me more than Civilization in my life as a video game player and just person in general. Yeah. And so I'm pretty skewed most of the time with my opinions, and I want to try and be as judicious as possible for this game this month.
So it's Paper Mario, BioShock Infinite, and Civilization. Those are
the three most impactful games of my life.
Just a lot of impaction.
Yes. Tons cool. of it. So, I'm not sure where to start. From my perspective, the thing that I was the most skeptical and nervous about, which normally wouldn't affect me, because I try not to read too many reviews or other people's thoughts ahead of trying something myself. But boy, it was extremely difficult to avoid two pieces of information surrounding this game prior to playing it. The first one was that there was this newfangled era transition concept that was going to be part of the game.
Okay.
And the second one was that everyone hated the UI. The UI was terrible. It was just like unplayable. Like some people were just absolutely detested the UI in this game. And as a designer, I was like, oh no, I'm going to be in trouble here. So those were the two things that I couldn't avoid. And I have very intense opinions on both of them.
Okay.
One I aligned with.
I could feel that heat, that intensity.
One I did not.
It's resonating.
Let's talk about the one I think might be the most contentious.
Go on.
I had zero problems with the UI. None.
Wow.
Like, whatsoever. I felt like, from a learning standpoint, Mm-hmm. Boy, they did a terrible job with the expose. Like teaching you how to actually use the UI.
Yeah.
They did a really bad job. You had to discover almost everything yourself by clicking and trying things, especially if you were playing on a controller or on the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Which sticks to click to get certain things to show and hide. Didn't even tell you. You just had to figure it out.
Okay.
But several minutes into the game and trying everything the first time through, I had no problems with it. And I felt more specifically that the stuff they stripped out of the UI was all the stuff that I never looked at, that I hated, that took up the screen in almost all prior civilizations. So I felt like the effort to minimize and get that stuff out of my way and just show me the game, amazing. And the simplified mechanics that went along with most of those UI choices, I thought was fantastic. So I was surprised. I was expecting to be very disappointed. I thought it was great. I love the minimalism in it. And everything looked and worked great once you figured it out. That's my opinion on the UI. Kenny, what's your opinion on the UI?
I think I just need to show you one escape screen, like when you hit the escape button or on the controller, I don't know, the pause button, where the like buttons, like the third button is like shifted in like five spaces where it should be just lined up on a save screen on like, it's such a big miss just because of the scaling and everything, like that I can't believe it's still in any version of this game. Like literally like the buttons, I will show you a screenshot of it. It just, here's what I think. I don't think the UI, I think the UI is bad in terms of its text layout. Like I actually think like it's really like the actual information it shows is fine. Like it just, its layout is really bad. And my theory is this is the first Civ game they built multi-platform first. Mm-hmm. Like they had to scale it for different screen sizes. Obviously like the Steam Deck came into play as well as they launched on consoles. Whereas before the console release of 6 came years after the PC release of 6. And they've always been PC first and then they would update their UI and, you know, they like XCOM is a little bit more controller friendly because of the density of information you have to do in Civ, but they did a pretty decent job with Civ 6. But it's a conversion, right? It's like after the expansions and stuff like that, they release it or like when expansion's available. It's just a lot with like little game. Like I know you say that they hide a lot of stuff, and I think that's true, but when you look at it, it doesn't actually give you much like interesting information. And maybe that's what you felt in the other six games, but just at a basic level, it's very boring. It's a boring UI, even if it is minimal. It's just very like boring. And second to that, it's there's a lot of alignment issues and a lot of scaling issues, and I've encountered a ton of them. Because I play on multiple screens. So I'm on a like, I have three versions of this game I play. One is on a TV. One is on a very nice ultra wide monitor. That's a very like it's 5K, 2K. And one is on a Steam Deck. And by far the best experience I think is actually on the Steam Deck. Interestingly enough, because they don't show that much stuff, right? Like it's designed for that kind of thing. It's designed to be on a Switch, right? Because they sold bonkers. I don't know if you know this, but Civ 6 sold bonkers on the Switch. Like it did really, really well.
Didn't know that.
And so that obviously influenced their decision to be like, well, we're going to make this work on very small screens. So, yeah. So I think it's bad. I think it's bad for a company that's been doing this long. I think there's definitely some learnings in how like the scaling problems that they're running into. Yeah, yeah. I think those are really interesting from a nerd perspective. Like it's just so many surfaces to support, which they haven't had to do until later. In that way I'm empathetic to them. Obviously I'm a software engineer. You work in product. We both do product design for consumers. We live in this space. It still feels like maybe I got to show you this menu because every time I see it, I'm horrified and I can't really show the viewers the menu. the listeners, I guess viewers now, because we're on the tubes.
I'll find a way to post it. I'll put it in the comments.
We actually have notes, which we haven't utilized in years on the site that you could use.
So let me caveat really quick.
I'm not done.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's bad.
It's bad. It's not good. And it's uninspired. It's uninspired. It really is uninspired.
If this was a design review podcast, I'd have a lot more feedback, right? Like, if we were getting into the details of what you're talking about, which is like typography.
Sorry, this isn't a design review podcast? We talk about like creative direction quite a bit. Are you sure?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah. So typography choices, iconography, spacing, the scaling stuff you're talking about, alignment issues, they're there. They're all over the place. Yeah.
But like noticeably there versus previous versions, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
But we run into those things in every game. The fact that
that's
this
not
is
true.
That is true. Like I can find them for you in almost every game getting down in the weeds. I think you notice it more in a game like Civ just because of how much of the UI is text and menu based, which is understandable. My main feedback was I thought I wasn't even going to be able to get to that level because of how fierce the feedback was on the choices of what to show and what not to show and how minimal the UI was. The people all the Civ nerds were just like, how do I even see my resource yields? And it's like, first of all, you never need to see those. So why are
it's interesting because like my complaint with the Civ interface is not actually it's minimal. I don't think it's any more minimal than the other Civs, to be honest.
It is.
I think it feels
it's dramatically minimal.
All right, fine. I guess I have to play 6 again. I'm going to load it up on my iPad.
Play 5. If you want to go back in time, play 5.
Okay. But
anyways, it's not a design review podcast. It's a video game podcast. I was just surprised because typically when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, oh, this is going to trigger my spidey senses. And I went into it super skeptical and very critical. And I found things like the stuff you were talking about where I was like, ooh, they're going to need to work on this. But I could play the game and it was got out of my way. And I thought the overall choices architecturally were great. So I'm looking forward to them making changes to it versus not.
I mean, the rhetoric around all Civ games is you have to wait for the 2 expansions to play the version of the game you want to play. Like, that's kind of the running gag. Like, Civ games are at their best after the expansions are launched.
Well, then let's talk about what I hope they work on first.
I read some patch notes.
In the first 2 expansions. Mm-hmm. And that is, they've got this new era system.
Yeah.
They break the game down into 3 chunks. I'm not going to remember the era names, but
I can do it. The ancient, the exploration age,
technological, modern,
and the modern age. Yeah,
there we go. Now there are some really, really cool and interesting new concepts in the era system. For example,
antiquity.
There we go.
We can Google on this podcast. I just Googled it. So
great. You only have access to certain technologies, so like certain branches of the tree entirely. The tree literally ends. You can only access certain things.
Yeah.
You only have access to certain objectives and styles of win conditions within the different branches of win conditions.
Yeah. Mostly boom map style. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You can only interface, or I want to say network for lack of better terms, with other leaders and the sovereign independence in certain styles and ways based on the era. There's a whole bunch of really cool stuff in there. And then there are when you transition between the eras, what happens to your civilization? You can change your strategy. You can switch up your advisors. You can pick power-ups. Like, the more you play the game, the more you unlock these different play styles through power-ups, and you can shift them. It's basically like you died in Overwatch, do you want to queue up a different character or switch up your loadout, right? It's really interesting and super cool. And it's absolutely, in my opinion, just like punched right in the face with the simplest of stupid decisions, which is that you change your leader. And every single time it happens, I've played
You don't
through,
change your leader.
Sorry, you change your civ.
Yeah.
In Civilization.
The leader is the constant.
The leader is the constant, and you change your civ, and it makes no sense. It just makes zero sense. They've done a little bit of work to sort of make them slightly tangential, so you can only pick certain ones. But overwhelmingly, if you start a game and you're committed to a strategy, say military or conquest. And then an era transition takes place. You don't care which one, you're going to look at the one that fits the military, like the military exploration or whatever style of leader, and go with that.
Yeah.
You're not critical about it. And so you wind up playing as, like, in one of my games, which I actually did well in, and I won this game. I can't remember what my original civilization was, but then I was Hawaii and then I was Russia. And it was like, how does that make any sense?
They just took the boats up north.
Like, but seriously though, of all the things to like whiff on, one of the core concepts, just not even game wise, psychologically, I'm building a civilization. And it's like, in no world can I follow the thread of Hawaii to Russia. That just doesn't make any sense.
I might have broken one of the core tenets of this podcast now that I think about it.
Which was, did you talk to me about something that I don't remember?
I have yet to win a game of Civ 7.
Well, have you lost a game of Civ 7?
Oh, yeah.
I've lost multiple games of Civ 7. That's totally fine.
I know, usually you like to beat it, though. And what we consider beating it is kind of winning. So
that's true.
I would think of it's... I have very, very mixed opinions on the Eris system. I think it is very flawed. I think this is essentially three mini Civ games compiled together. I don't love the leader system. I don't love the leader Civ system. It just doesn't feel baked. It just doesn't feel good. And the middle era, the exploration age, it's just a fucking mess. It feels like they figured out the first one and the third one really well. And in fact, I'd say the most fun, which is crucial, and it's probably the one they probably spent the most time playtesting, is the first age, and that's probably the most fun. The problem with the third age is that it depends on the second age, again, because everything starts over again. So if you fuck up in the second age, which is just, I mean, to give you an idea... To get a science victory in the second age, or to do science achievements, and again, the victory system is another problem with this age. Like, you have to like grow your cities like vertically, which kind of has nothing to do with technology in a lot of ways, and really is about building buildings that grow your city to essentially add this new concept of like overbuilding. It makes no sense. In fact, I would say the tech path. It's completely fucked over by the exploration age. It doesn't make any sense. That's what I'd like to see them fix. I will say the one thing that I've kind of talked to you about, and I've talked to other people about, that I do love about the Eras Age that is different from previous Civ games. This is the first Civ game where I have completed now two multiplayer games of Civilization with two other adult people, which is a near impossible feat in other Civ games. But that's
just because it makes it digestible,
because it makes it in chunks. You're just like, well, we're just going to play through this era tonight. And so essentially three games and we're done.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that means like we're spending like 3 to 4 hours playing a game, but it's not like it's not going like it has an ending, which is really lovely. And I do like that. And I think that's one of the things, like, it gives you kind of clarity on who did what and when. And so I think that's their goal with the era system. It's like to make it more digestible, a game for people because of Fortnite or whatever. Usually it's because of Fortnite. Everything's because of Fortnite. And it works. I mean, it really does feel like we just play until the end of the era, you know, and sometimes that's till 12, sometimes that's until 10:30. And it's that's been really fun because it's been fun to beat these games. And in fact, one of the, I played with my siblings who are sadistic assholes. And one of the siblings who I would say is the most competitive, which is saying a lot of my siblings, went and played a game in between our game to figure out, based on where we were after completing the eras, how he could potentially strategically turn the next era around and win the entire game. And he did. And he was like, he was working on economic stuff, and then he made it essentially a culture victory. So again, the problem with that is, should be very clear. We have played two rounds where he was not the dominant player. And then in the last round, like, he chose a strategy that upended his previous, like, all the things, like, in Civ games before, like, you would be screwed at this point, but he was able to turn it around. So that's good in one way, because that means, like, anyone can win at any time, right? That's what the error reset means. But it's also bad in that all the work that my other sibling and I did, it was valueless in a lot of ways. Like, because the error reset, you need a new strategy every time. And very rarely does something you do in the previous era significantly affect the next era. And if you fuck up the exploration age, it kind of fucks up the whole game because it's so bad. So I guess in a way, those two statements contradict each other. But
I was going to say, I don't have the direct feedback, since I haven't done any multiplayer with a person. I've only played against the computer so far.
Yeah.
So I haven't fallen victim yet to a person making a dramatic shift in strategy.
Uh-huh.
But I have experienced the opposite of what you just described, which was, I have had situations in which, like I wanted to, for example, I wanted a gut check on, in almost every Civ game, military is my least favorite victory. It's never been interesting to me. It's usually just boring. It's kind of sloggy, and then becomes just like troop maintenance, and I don't really like it.
Yeah.
But I wanted a gut check. I was like, I'm going to do a military campaign. I'm going to see what happens. And I dominated the first era. I was just
military,
like,
is actually pretty good in this game. Like,
it is actually pretty good
in the antiquity age. Like, they have a general system that works
the
really
general
well.
Thing makes it really easy.
Yeah.
And so I did that, and then I was like, ooh, I got to the second era, and I think I could pick Genghis Khan. And some of the bonuses were around, like, converting settlements within your own continent.
Yeah.
And
Mongols? Because you don't get to pick Genghis Khan.
Yes, the Mongols. Sorry. So
again, you're
like
confusing
I was on
the
this...
leadership and the civilization system. The leaders stay the same. You could be Harriet Tubman of the Mongols.
Yes, it's stupid. So I was on what I thought was a giant continent. And so I was like, oh, this sounds great. I'm going to pick that as my strategy. And then immediately ran into water. And, you know, the amount of time it took for me to shift my strategy
to get out of there,
to get out of, like, a fully, you know, military campaign, to just have science at all and have economy at all at scale in order to build boats and move stuff was nearly impossible. And so I had to shift my strategy dramatically.
It's three mini games.
Yeah.
And they kind of connect to each other, which feels weird.
It does. Yeah. But really, I just think that what they're going for with the shifting of strategies and the shifting of skills and trees and all this, I believe could have been achieved if what they did was just let you create your own leader. Like, pick a leader, name it Matthew. Who do you want to mimic your leader after? Harriet Tubman, Catherine of Russia? Like, pick one to, like, style your skills off of, but then you go through this game not as an actual real, like, they've extrapolated the true I'm a real person out of it so much that it basically, the purpose I felt like it served was to remind you that you're not really playing a realistic civilization game.
Yeah.
And they should have just extrapolated one step further and made it insert name of leader here. And I think that would have helped a lot.
I agree. It would also be cooler if, like, your starting Civ evolved like it did naturally. Like,
yes, exactly.
Like, it is cool if you start as the Babylonians and then you become the Persians and then you become
absolutely
like the UAE or something like that. And, like, your choice of leader is related to that civilization. Like,
yes,
I don't think that system's great. They also added, interestingly enough, a progression system in the Civ. Mm-hmm. Which is achievement-based and unlocks bonuses that you can start each era with, so to speak. It's
fine.
Which
is cool because it gets you to play people like you wouldn't normally play and try strategies and win mechanics that you wouldn't have previously tried to get.
It's fine.
It's fine.
The problem is, based on how much you've played, those perks are unlocked for you in multiplayer. So essentially the person who plays more already has a advantage in multiplayer if they have the options of more things to unlock. So
wow, they don't make it a lowest common denominator type of thing.
They don't open up all of them either. Like it's really based on that. So like people who play a lot of stuff and do a lot of things get more options in that regard, which is a great, I think they did some really cool things in here that I want to talk about though. I think those two problems you brought up, the UI is pretty big, not detrimental. I agree with you there. I think the error system is hit or miss. I can see it being I can understand why it's miss for people. And I think the expiration age is just hot garbage. Like they need to figure out what the fuck they're doing there. But that is like saying like that's two ages that they got right in a very complicated game, I feel. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've changed some of the systems. Religion is like a non-factor in this game.
Yeah.
It was huge in 6. It's
good for me because I always hated being taken over by religions and I never really wanted that path in previous games, but I hear you. Yeah, totally.
Which is a big change from 6. And I actually think it's fine. Essentially, religion's like a thing of the expiration age.
It provides bonuses, but it doesn't really.
I actually really love the new diplomacy system. I think they've always struggled with diplomacy, and I think actually dehumanizing it and turning it into essentially what is a point exchange, which is what it is really fun. So the way diplomacy works in previous civs, essentially you'd have to guess the intent of the person, and then you like could decide sort of willfully how to do things. And then if you hit the magic algorithm or random number generator, that leader or your friend would agree to the terms of like sharing open borders and stuff like this. This one is literally like you get currency, diplomacy, you generate it, and then you just send requests to people. And based on the number of diplomacy you have, you can like take over a sovereign little city, or you can, I'll get to barbarians. I'm glad they got rid of those. Or you can take over, or you can like open borders. And, you know, we ran into really fun issues. Me and my siblings were like, that's how you get trade routes. You spend diplomacy points, you open trade routes. Recently in a game we just started, I rejected all their trade route things. And then, I took a big reputational hit, so that eventually I fell out of favor with them. And my youngest sibling decided to go to war with me because I was rejecting constantly his trade. But it was cool because that exchange is there too, because they have to spend those points if they want to. And you could use them also for like sabotage to like steal technology. And it actually feels like it has an impact versus before it felt like it was just like, maybe this will happen.
I mean, full circle. Like we were just discussing, I've always really not liked military-based campaigns.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons, it might even be my favorite aspect of the military campaigns in this game, is that you can also use your diplomatic points to spend against someone you're fighting to reduce war weariness on your civilization and boost your advantage. Like you can basically just say, you can spend your diplomacy points to be like, I fight better against you now, right. Which is really cool.
Because you take a happiness hit, and happy citizens are productive citizens. It's like built into the game. It's very good. I really like it. I think it's probably the best version of diplomacy they've ever done. I really love, they used to have barbarians, which were a huge pain in the ass and just unnecessary. Like when it's like 1492 and barbarians are attacking you, which could really fuck up someone's game, especially if you're playing multiplayer. Like one person could just get antagonized by barbarians and then essentially they're not playing with you. They're playing against the barbarians. Right. This game, the city states are hostile. They have a city state system. But you can befriend them with diplomacy points, and they can be annoying, but they're generally as threatening as they need to be. Like, I haven't been taken over by a barbarian. Maybe that's because of my difficulty level, like by a city state, but you can usually win them over and then eventually convert them to a settlement, which is another new system in this game. This game is the biggest fucking swing of Civilization in three releases,
yeah,
maybe since four. I can't
remember. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been like 20. Yeah. Like,
but even most of the stuff they took big swings on last time, like borders and cultural bombs and all that, like those things aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely got a lot packed
into
it.
But it's fundamentally a different game than like six and five felt like, and four, they felt like similar games.
Yep.
This feels very much like they're experimenting heavily.
Yep, it does.
And I think it really, I mean, I think this more than other Civ games has the potential to be the best one after expansions, like the most engaging across all the different because in Civ games, you go down trees to win like victory conditions. And I just think if they do this right, if they fix their bugs, this might be the most interesting game to play in when you can keep playing with games out of all of them. Like, It's really accessible, which other Civ games weren't as accessible. It's playable on multiple platforms. The systems feel good. Like military, you said, felt cumbersome. Now it feels actually pretty slick. Diplomacy solved. Religion, which was an interesting system, but could dominate in weird ways, is kind of in the background. They just need to figure out this Eris system and I think have a natural evolution. But I don't know. I mean, I could see Civ players who have loved every title since 4 just being like, nope, this isn't for me. Or 3, or I've been playing Civ since 1.
I think it's good. I
think it has potential. I don't think it's great. I think there's a lot of problems with it, but I think it's good.
Yes.
And I'd really love to see, I mean, maybe this is one of the ones, rare ones that we should come back after in a couple of years when the expansions have released and like review this and talk about like what changed and how we feel.
Yeah. We've never done a expansion podcast of the same.
No, game. But the Civ games are so big. Like they just get so, and then they get even bigger with the expansions. I think it might be fun, at least for you and me. I don't give a shit about these listeners.
We'll just record it. And if you want to watch, No, I think that's fair. I agree. I think it's, I would describe it as, I think it's really good. I don't think it's great, but kind of like what it sounds like you're hinting at, when I played it, the first two games that I played, I got done with each of them and I felt really excited. Which I can't, like, I feel like there's like Civ 5, I probably enjoyed, like, thought it was a better game from start to finish and maybe, holistically than this one, but I never felt excited after. I just felt like, yep, this is Civ. And this one feels a lot different when you play it, which is kind of cool. Cause it's been a while since saw something new or tried something that you weren't sure about in Civ. And yeah. I think that's great.
You should also try to join some of our multiplayer games.
Which yeah. That'd be great. Be
nearly impossible for scheduling you. Cause it's like 3 hours until
we'll figure it out.
All right.
I hope the thing that they spend some time on, because again, there's so many new mechanics and so many things that have changed slightly. This might be something that's specific only to people that are very long time Civ players and can follow the thread of like all the different mechanics and what they turned into and how they've come and gone. But I just assumed I didn't really need much instruction on some of the stuff. So I skipped a lot of the tutorial. I was just like, yeah, I'm a Civ. I've played since Civ 1. I know what's up.
Yeah.
And then you start doing things and it just doesn't work. Like a good example would be like, I tried my first military campaign and I, you know, north of my capital city, 3 city states. And I was like, I've got an immense army already. I'm just going to go conquer them. Well, you can't. Like, you cannot conquer a city state. You can annihilate their defenses and kill all their troops, and they just still exist.
Yeah.
There's a weird mechanics like that where, like, they have to be befriended by someone. It can be you or it can be somebody else before they can then be conquered. And it's like, well, first of all, I don't know. That's not intuitive. And second, that must be buried somewhere in the instructions that I didn't
read. I didn't know that. That's funny.
I thought it was fairly straightforward that if I just bring an army to your walls, I get the city. But that's not how it works. And there's a couple of things like that in the game that I hope that there's better kind of walkthroughs for. The second one I would mention would be that, you know, the objective system along victories. It's very straightforward. You're like, okay, I'm going to pick military for this era.
Yeah.
And then there's a checklist on the left side of the screen. Here's the things you need to do to progress towards victory. But every once in a while, the instruction won't be very clear. It'll just be like, take over a settlement with a catapult. And you'll be like, okay. And then you'll get a catapult and take over the settlement. You're like, you didn't check it off. And you're like, did I miss something? Like, did I not do it in the right order? Do I have to research something first? Those things need to be worked on too. But I think they could get it. I think they could do it. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. I think that things are clear about like what you have to do.
Yeah.
In terms of not clear, like you're talking about, that stuff still vague, but like if you figure a mechanic out, it's pretty plain to do. Like,
yes,
I need more money. I can set up more trade routes, and you see the results of that. It's not like weirdly, like, I don't know, in past games, it would be like you do something like that and then it would kind of work, you know, or it just wasn't the right system. This one feels like if you do, it's oddly simplified, even though, like you've said, sometimes they hide that simplicity behind some weird, vague thing. So there's definitely some things to work out there, but I don't know. It's really fun to play multiplayer again, because it just time boxes it really nicely. And, I mean, it's probably the Civ I've engaged with most since maybe even two, maybe one when I was really young.
There'd be three for me, but yes.
Yeah, I played a lot of three too.
On a longer time.
I'm really bad at Civ, just so it's very clear to everyone. I lose all these games.
We should definitely play then.
Yeah, I'm really bad at it, but my siblings are very good at it. So
I would not want to play your siblings in Civ, I don't think.
Well, you'd have to if you play games. They're great.
Well, that's fine. I guess I'll do it.
It's also very fun when they want to be agents of chaos. They're just very they're very, I don't know, they're bright boys. I don't know what tree I hit or was thrown at when I was young, but those two are very, very good at strategy games. And I'm like, let me just build this thing.
All right, well, let's try and set it up. I'd love to do it. I'm not the best, but I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I bet you'd be pretty good.
All right. Well, that's our review of Civilization VII. I feel like I have a hunch that it was slightly more obtuse than I had anticipated, but I think it's good. I think definitely if you're a Civ fan, I think you should play this game just because you want to see where you land. Like, I think Kenny's feedback around where this sits and sort of the lineage of Civ games is spot on. Like, I think you need to see where you land on which side of the fence. Is this like a, ooh, interesting? Or is this like a, what the, did they do to my sit? Like, find out where you land. And then if you're not a fan of Civ, again, to Kenny's point, this has to be the easiest version of Civ to try and pick up and play on whatever you're trying to play it on, and try to learn an entirely new thing. Cause so much of it is new as well to people that have played Civ. And the fact that you can play it on a Steam Deck is pretty weird. Like, it's pretty cool and pretty strange to have that kind of game, like at that scope on a tiny little handheld device. It's pretty sweet. So that would be my overarching recommendation.
Yeah. And Matt, just so you know, as a Civ player, they are patching in Auto Explore.
Great. Can't wait.
The biggest missing feature ever. Right. I mean, I think this could potentially be, with some tweaks, the best Civ in a long while. But right now, it is not.
To be continued.
Da, da, da.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. I can't tell you how many times I've been playing Civ and, you know, my wife's busy doing something and then comes, you know, to this side of the house and she's like, what are you listening to? And I'm like, it's just Hawaiian music or like Russian music. Like,
it's just very good. Random. It's really good.
It is very good.
Nothing will compare to Baba Yetu, the Civ 4 theme. I don't know the words. I'm just massacring them, but
I always like to drop do we know what game we're doing next? We changed it around.
I think next we're doing Hogwarts.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I think next we're doing Hogwarts, everyone. It's the best we can do this month. So we'll see you back in a month and maybe we'll be talking about Hogwarts. Who knows? Thanks for listening. I've been your host this month, Matthew Anderson. And with me, as always,
Kenny Myers.
See you later. Alligator.
See you later. Hey, see you later. Ba ba ya tu ya tu ba ba ya tu ya tu.